Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. More than 700 women die each year in the U.S. while pregnant or shortly after giving birth. An alarming number of those women are black. In Florida, black women are two times as likely to die compared to white women during childbirth. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Florida lawmakers were pushing for a maternal mortality prevention task force that would have investigated maternal deaths in the state and then come up with the best practices to prevent those deaths. Unfortunately, that plan did not go through in this session, but we'll talk about that as well. Jamara Amani is the executive director of the Southern Birth Justice Network, a founding member of the Black Mamas Matter Alliance, and a community midwife and a doula based here in Miami. And by the way, she was in Tallahassee advocating for that task force not too long ago. She joins me now in studio to talk about the scope of this problem that black mothers are facing right now. Jamara Amani, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Luis, for having me.
I appreciate it. I did also want to mention, too, that we posted up on Facebook a question. If you're a black mother and you've given birth, you've had a child, what was your experience like? We'd like to hear from you. So please find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial and share that with us. Jamara, what is it? Is it education? Is it money? Or is it simply race? Why? Why the disparity?
Well, the issue of black maternal mortality is very complex. It's not just one answer. All of those things are at play, for sure. Racism is a big factor. The amount of racism, the experiences of racism that someone experiences over their lifetime will impact their health outcomes, and that has been shown repeatedly in various studies. And so we are looking at a problem of race. We are looking at the racism that people encounter in the healthcare system, as well as in their daily lives. We're also looking at education. Although we know that educated, very well-educated black women with high incomes and access to healthcare still have higher mortality rates than white women who are high school dropouts. So there's something else at play here that goes beyond education, income, and access, although those issues do matter and they do make a difference.
You spent so many years now helping mothers, and I want to know, what are the typical concerns that you hear from mothers as they're preparing for childbirth?
Well, the number one thing is not being heard by providers, not being listened to, not having their rights respected.
So that's, I mean, is that basically going to the doctor, the hospital, and asking for anything and not getting...
Being dismissed, yes. And it's happened to even the top celebrities that we know, like Serena Williams, who recounted her experience of giving birth and having to literally grab a nurse and say, "Help me. You know, there's something wrong and I need a medication," and having been dismissed several times before that. And so it's happening to black women everywhere. And the implicit bias is inherent in our healthcare system, unfortunately. So we have to start from scratch and go back and train providers and medical students that are just coming out, you know, on how to care for our communities. And the role of midwives and doulas really matter a lot, because midwives and doulas provide protective factors for black women, for all women, you know, for all people giving birth. But in particular for black women, there's a long tradition of midwifery care in our communities. And black midwives had it been systematically pushed out of the system. And so bringing midwives back is a way to protect mothers. It's a way to make sure that their voices are heard. And that they get one-to-one humanistic, holistic care.
Throughout the entire process, from when a woman finds out she's pregnant to childbirth, are black women, along that process, I want to know what black women are not getting that white women are.
Well, it starts before that first pregnancy test, right? Because we're talking about the life course perspective, which is a theory that was advanced by Dr. Michael Liu of the CDC. Which basically states that, you know, the amount of racism that someone experiences through their lifetime will impact their health outcomes. So it starts before that first pregnancy test. It relates to the level of care that people are receiving before they get pregnant or in between pregnancies. But yes, definitely the care during the pregnancy matters too. We need quality care. We need access to care for everyone, regardless of race, income, immigrant status. We need providers that listen. We need culturally competent care. We need care that respects people's rights and their decision-making power over their own bodies. Because oftentimes people go into a hospital or a clinical care setting and feel like a number or feel like their rights are being violated, or feel like things are being done to them and that they are not partners in their own healthcare decision making.
You said culturally competent care, right?
Yes.
Well, can you give me an idea of what that is?
Culturally competent care means providers that that people can relate to. Like if you go into a provider and, you know, talk to them about your family dynamic or your diet or your beliefs about your pregnancy or your desire to treat things holistically and use herbs or things that grow in your garden or to, you know, move around during your pregnancy and squat like your grandma did to give birth, all of those things really matter. They matter deeply for most women who are giving birth. And being able to birth on your own terms, I know for me it was really important to have providers that looked like me, that I could relate to, that I felt safe with. It was important to me to birth in my own home because I knew it was a safe environment. And I knew I could wear my own clothes, eat my own food, move around like I wanted to, play my own music. And those things might sound trivial, but they matter deeply for outcomes. How people feel about their care matters deeply for how they do.
Now, my understanding is right. The first couple of children you had were in a hospital?
Yes.
And then you went and you decided to have them at home.
Exactly. And that was a big shift for me. I can talk about one of my hospital births. I definitely needed more care and to be listened to more than I was. I felt that my basic rights were violated. My nurse told me that if I didn't stay in the bed, I could kill my baby, which is something you should never, ever say to someone in labor.
What did you say back?
I just nodded my head and smiled. I waited until she left the room. I asked my doula. Thankfully, I had a doula. I asked my doula to guard the door, and I got up from the bed and hid in the bathroom and managed my own labor from the bathroom because I knew I needed to move my body. I knew I needed to not just be flat on my back giving birth, and that was what I did. And an hour later, I gave birth to my daughter. But had I been stuck in that bed, I don't know what the outcome would have been. And there were way too many interventions. There was a lot of things done to me. My baby was removed from me when I asked for skin to skin right after birth. That was something that, you know, I wanted so that I could start breastfeeding right away. And there was just a lot that I felt like I was saying that mattered to me that people were just telling me, oh, that's not possible. Oh, we don't do that here. And just being very dismissed.
And all of this stuff can't be discussed ahead of time, or they never even gave you the option to talk about, well, how do you want to be comfortable, or
what happens ahead of time and what happens in the labor room are completely different things. When you walk into a hospital and, you know, and I'm not demonizing hospitals. We need them. We certainly need them for emergent care. We certainly need them for surgical births. You know, some women require C-sections and they're life-saving. They can be. But we have a really high C-section rate in our country. It's higher than the World Health Organization recommends. And the U.S. Outcomes for maternal health are abysmal across the board. And not just for Black women, but Black women are the most impacted by far, 3 to 4 times likely on the national average to die related to childbirth than white women. And hospitals play a big part of that because most people are giving birth in hospitals.
I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned it a couple of times, and I think we need to come back to this idea of a doula. Mm-hmm. And remind us again, because you are one, and remind us again what a doula does, but you specifically, how you approach being a doula.
Sure. Well, I'm actually not a doula.
Oh, you're not?
Okay. I'm a midwife.
Oh, you're a midwife. Okay, thank you.
But I can talk about doula care because my organization provides training for doulas. Doulas are professional labor support. They are the people that meet with you ahead of time, like you just mentioned. Can't this be worked out ahead of time? Well, that's what a doula does. They sit with you and they discuss your birth plan with you. What are the things that you want to have? What's important to you? What do you value? What matters to you about your health care? And then they are in a position to help you communicate those things with your physician or midwife, you know, your OB provider. And they are also there when you give birth, and they are on call. So if you're giving birth at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can call your doula and say, hey, I'm in labor. And the doula will come and be your support person. They can be an advocate. They also are the person that can breathe with you and help you get into different positions and, you know, rub your back and tell you, yes, girl, you can do this. Doulas are incredibly skilled at providing support for laboring mamas.
And you had a doula who basically had to act like a guard.
Yeah, my doula was definitely the guard between and the, you know, kind of buffer between me and the hospital staff. And that's a role that doulas can play. And it helps the healthcare providers. I mean, it makes less work for the nurses to have a doula in the room. And it certainly helps the families that are giving birth to have that advocate and that support person. So doulas are a huge part of the solution for maternal mortality because having a doula actually improves outcomes. And that's been shown in studies as well.
I'm talking with Jamara Amani. She's the executive director of the Southern Birth Justice Network, a founding member of the Black Mamas Matter Alliance, and a community midwife based here in Miami. And we're looking at why, as I mentioned earlier, why Black women have higher rates of maternal mortality than their white counterparts. Now, this legislative session, Democratic lawmakers were pushing for a new legislation that would require the State Department of Health to establish a maternal mortality prevention task force. But that bill did not reach the governor's desk. Let's talk about that bill. You were in Tallahassee talking to lawmakers about this.
Yes.
What? Well, tell us a little bit about that trip up there and who heard you.
So I had the opportunity to travel with folks from South Florida, Floridians for Reproductive Freedom and the Miami Workers Center and folks from Southern Birth Justice Network and Florida Latina Action Network to advocate for bills that are supporting reproductive justice. And that's really, you know, a term that means that we are cared for through our whole reproductive cycle. That means we have comprehensive sex education. That means that we have access to, birth control. That means we have access to abortion. That means that people have access to maternity care that is affordable, that is accessible, that is quality. And so this, you know, group of folks went up there to advocate for that. And yes, House Bill 519, the Maternal Mortality Task Force bill, was definitely a huge part of that. And I give a lot of respect to Representative Kamia Brown for introducing that, for having the courage and the voice to bring that bill into session. And it is sad that it didn't pass this time around because we sorely need it. And we actually have federal precedent, recently. The United States Congress launched the Black Maternal Health Caucus, which now has about 60 members of Congress that are calling for maternal task forces to exist in every state and that, you know, they should be funded, that they should be solution oriented, that they should involve a range of maternity care providers, including midwives and doulas and obstetricians and nurses. And that multi-sectoral approach is how we are going to get things done. So the trip to Tallahassee was definitely needed. We need more people going with us to raise their voices that this issue matters and so that we get this bill passed next year.
What was the response when you were up there? What did you get a sense that there was any hope for this?
I felt like it was a very supportive response. I think there was a lot of support for the bill. I think that people are concerned about this issue, that lawmakers want to understand it. And it's hard to just give a one-liner with this issue because it is complex. It is multi-sectoral. It does involve, you know, everything from, you know, the quality of healthcare to the funding of healthcare to education to respect to autonomy to people's rights. There's so many factors involved with it, and it really requires us to take a hard look at our healthcare system and where are the gaps that people are falling through. But I think that lawmakers really do want to do this work. I think some of the concern is it going to cost the state of Florida money? Right.
My understanding with the task force is part of it was basically to gather a lot of data that would help in future recommendations on dealing with this topic.
Yeah, because we aren't collecting enough information around the numbers. We don't really have solid numbers as to how many mothers are dying giving birth in the United States in general, and certainly not in Florida. We need to be diligently collecting the information so that we can understand what the factors are. So that's where it starts, is gathering the data and then coming up with the solutions once we analyze the data and identify the problem.
I don't know if you can give me a number, but I'm curious as to how many Black women have access to a midwife or a doula.
I don't have hard numbers on that because, again, we don't have good data. Midwives, out-of-hospital midwives that do home births and birth center deliveries are doing about 2% of the births in the state. So it's a small number. More have access to doulas. I don't know exactly how many. The good thing about midwifery care in the state of Florida and what we are pushing for doula care is that it is compensated through Medicaid. So people who have various Medicaid plans can access a midwife and can have a birth that occurs outside of the hospital, can have the type of care that midwives provide, which is very similar to OB care. However, there are more layers to it. Midwives really care for the person holistically. So we're talking about mentally, emotionally, psychologically, you know, socially. When I see my clients, I ask them, how are you doing? How's your partner doing? How's your mom doing? What did you eat today? You know, how are you feeling emotionally? How does your family feel about your pregnancy? And my appointments usually last, you know, anywhere from 30 minutes to 60 minutes, depending on the need of the person. And most women will tell you if they go to an OB, they feel very rushed in and rushed out. 5 to 15 minute appointments. And, you know, not getting all their questions answered and not really being educated about their pregnancy. Again, it's not a dig at OBs. It's just a look at our healthcare system and ways that we can improve and how midwives and doulas can help to be a part of that solution.
Are there enough programs to train midwives? I want to know what the training is or to be a doula.
So in the state of Florida, the training of doulas is not regulated, and most people can become a doula in less than a year. It's usually a weekend training or a week-long training followed with some hands-on, you know, requirements like attending births, for example, reading books, attending workshops. Becoming a doula is pretty accessible. And once a year, Southern Birth Justice Network does a doula training. We'll be doing another one in September. To become a midwife is a little bit more challenging. It's a 3-year program. It's a requirement for 3 years in Florida to become a licensed midwife. And there aren't many programs that exist. We are actually in the process of trying to open one, but there are some obstacles. It definitely requires funding. It requires the support of the state, Council of Education, and the Council of Midwifery. And there's some hurdles to jump through. We currently don't have an active program in South Florida that is able to train midwives. And so people go to Boca, they go to the west coast of Florida, they go to Gainesville. But we really need to have a program here in our community so that we can see those numbers change through more access to midwives.
I don't want to let you go without asking you this, because you have an event coming up at the Little Haiti Cultural Center, right?
We do, on Friday.
Okay, tell us about it.
We're having our Black Mamas, our Trailblazers Mama's Day dinner. And it's to coincide with Mother's Day weekend, but we're having it on Friday so people can still have their Mother's Day. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. at Little Haiti Cultural Center. It's an opportunity to celebrate Black moms for all of the amazing things that we do. And we're going to have food and entertainment and dancing and a really good time. We're providing childcare. And we really just want to bring Black moms to the table to say, we know that there's these barriers and obstacles, but we just want to celebrate you.
Real briefly, what's next? I mean, you know, we'll wait till the next session, try again, but what's next? How do we change this statistic?
Well, in the meantime, I am in my community every day caring for all mamas, but in particular, Black mamas who, you know, need my care. I think that if the more people seek out doula and midwifery care and make those demands to their legislators that these things really matter to them, that we will start to see a shift. If we have people calling their health insurance companies and saying, is my doula going to be covered under my insurance? If we have people calling up their legislators and saying, you know, I'd really like to have a midwife, but there isn't one in my neighborhood. How can we get more midwives? Then we're going to start to see this demand, you know, growing. And, you know, also what we're doing through Southern Birth Justice Network is training providers. We recently had a screening and a workshop panel at FIU Medical School. Because we really believe that getting to folks that are medical students, that are still open-minded, that, you know, can come out and be doctors that make a difference, we really want to work in partnership with the healthcare system. So we're providing those trainings in our communities as well. And we'll continue to do that work all the way up until the next legislative session, where we will go to Tallahassee again to make, you know, our voices heard.
Again, Jamara Amani, Executive Director of the Southern Birth Justice Network, a founding member of the Black Mamas Matter Alliance. We'll put that information, by the way, about this weekend's event up on our social media, WLRN Sundial. Jamara, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lewis.